I've never read Gormenghast before. I hadn't even seen the television series from about 10 years ago, so I knew absolutely nothing about it, and it was rather nice to not know anything about it. Sometimes the saying ignorance is bliss, I think, is good, because you can come to a project with preconceived ideas. So reading it, not knowing anything about it, meant I was reading it fresh, and that was good, and I like reading things like that. I can see where a lot of authors nowadays who are doing extremely well are getting a lot of their ideas from. He's definitely seems to be a founding father, if you like, of the Harry Potters and the Darren Shans and the Derek Landys, which I also read those as well. There's a lot of similarities between this, but this is a lot more grown up. Obviously, it has that childish and childlike fantasy fairy tale story to it, but the political aspect of it is of its time, and I think possibly now it's becoming very valid again. This was written in the 40s, post-war, I believe. So this was a time when Britain had a lot of austerity. There's a word we hear a lot of in the moment. And during a war, the Second World War, and I think now we're at a point as well where people are trying to reevaluate themselves and their place in the earth, not only in terms of social equality and class equality, but also where they're from in terms of their religious background, their nationality. And the world is becoming much more homogenized and a lot smaller. And something like Gormenghast, where you have a very them and us scenario, I think we're beginning to look at whether that is still valid in society, whether the haves and the have-nots, the yin and the yang is fair, and when they do mix, whether that works. When it comes to doing different voices in a project, especially characters that are much larger than life, and let's face it, the characters in this book are quite broad, and to some extent one can go to a Monty Python-esque style of voice. But I think with a book like this, you've got to keep it entertaining and amusing and light as well, and make it a fun listen for the listener. So I always relish the chance to play with my voice in a way that hopefully will not be boring, shall we say. It might be a bit silly in places, but you know what? So what? I love that. I always try and at least keep the delivery of the line as real as possible to give it some brevity. But normally approaching projects that have lots of characters, for me, certainly is what I look forward to. It makes the day go by quicker. And I think in some weird way, the more voices I do, the more gravitas my narrative voice seems to have, because the voice is being well used. It's becoming a well-oiled machine. So it's great fun. Telling you guys, the audience, if I have based any of my characters on anyone who I know personally or any celebrities out there would be giving away the little secrets. But I would be interested if you can guess if there's any similarities to any voices. I think certainly Dr. Prune Squalor, there's a little bit of Brian Sewell in there. And I think possibly in one or two other characters, there may be a little bit of Johnny Vegas or Sean Bean, something coming in. But really, I only use that as a hook to get into the character voice. I'm not doing an impression of these people at all. It's merely an essence of a characteristic of the voice, so that when the character comes up on the page, I immediately can go to that voice without looking at a series of crib notes, which can be quite confusing sometimes because I work orally and not with descriptive words. So yes, I would use people I know personally or people in the public eye purely because it's a sense memory.